Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perigimel. Perigimel, we're up to the letter Dalet, which begins in Pasuk Yud. So we mentioned yesterday that Perigimel has three letters. The whole entire Echos is arranged according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. Perigimel is the most intense arrangement of the Aleph Beis because each letter of the Aleph Beis gets three short psukim. So Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Yud reads, Doiv Oirev Hu Li. And a dove is a bear, Oyev is lying in ambush, Huli, it is to me, who, that we'll see in a moment, who is the who? Who is the subject? A who? Either means, I'll just tell you outside, either means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has behaved to us in a way as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a bear. So others say dove refers to Nevuchad Netzar, Nevuzardon. Others say it refers to the Bayashen, it loses the Bayashen of Titois HaRasha. Good question. If according to those who say that Doiv here, according to Rashi, look what Rashi says. Rashi says Doiv Oirev Hu Li Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nepach Li LeDoiv Oirev. So you have over here a source that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is comparing in the midos. I don't mean Hashem is comparing to an animal, but the midos of certain animals. According to Rashi, the answer is yes. It may sound shocking. But yes, and Doiv is not necessarily a creature that we're very fond of. Today in the Catskills, they're shooting the bears. The sakana. Bears are a very great sakana. It's the greatest sakana in the Catskills. Mm-hmm. So Doiv Oriv Huli, Aryeh B'mistorim, and then the Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is also a lion lying in hiding, in Seisar. So the Rashi just says short words that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the subject of this pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu nepach li l'doyev. Kadosh Baruch Hu has been transformed into a bear that lies in ambush. Targum pasuk yud to compare Hashem to an animal. Let's see, look at Rashi. Rashi says, what does it say over here? The way Kadosh Baruch Hu is behaving. The way Kadosh what?
Protective.
But here it's in a negative way. Hashem is destroying us.
That wouldn't be my first thought.
Yeah, okay. So let's see the Targum. Targum says, Duba Mechamein Huli, a bear in Mechamein. Mechamein means in hiding. Duba is the female?
Yeah.
Okay, Duba is a female bear. Mechamein. Mechamein means in Oiref, in ambush. Huli, Kama. Aryeh, lion, v'mitamor b'chvisha, a lion that is hiding. Okay, a lion that is hiding. Now, the question is, why are there two different creatures? Now, again, according to Targum, let's take a step back. Targum does not specify who is the who. Rashi, as we just mentioned, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the who. But the Medrash does specify that the who refers to Nevuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar behaved like a doiv and like an aryeh, especially since Nebuchadnezzar himself, now, in other interpretations, we interpret this in general to our enemies, does not necessarily mean Nebuchadnezzar, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a general statement that our enemies throughout history are always lying in ambush and waiting for us like a bear and like a lion. Why do we compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a bear, or our enemies to a bear and a lion? Why isn't one enough? Why do we need both of them together? So the Mefarshim explained that each one has a unique characteristic. A bear has the characteristic that it only eats when it's hungry. It eats. Good morning. When it's hungry. It eats. If it's not hungry, it's not going to eat. A lion, on the other hand, a lion only...
Also eats only when it's hungry. It doesn't attack.
A bear, that's what it says here in the article, quoting from the Kiflayim La Shu'iyah. It's the name of a sefer.
The bear is known to be always hungry.
No, not necessarily. Dog. Chazal only say that about a dog. The best that I know, Chazal only says that a dog is always hungry. Other creatures, it comes a point in time when they're satisfied, and that's the end. Not a dog. That's the only creature that is said. Metzias? Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. But it says over here in the Mefarshim that a bear is not vicious. A bear is only eats out of hunger. It eats out of hunger. Now the problem is, when you eat out of hunger, the type of eating is more intense. When a bear is hungry, there's nothing a bear will not do in order to satisfy its hunger. So the technique of eating in a state of hunger can be extremely dangerous, worse than a lion, because a lion attacks even when it's not hungry, just to display its superiority, its strength, its power. So each one now, and that makes a lion even more dangerous, because it's unpredictable. The lion is not hungry, and yet the lion can attack for no reason whatsoever, other than to show its power. But being that it's not necessarily attacking because it is hungry, it's not due to hunger pains, the attack may not be as ferocious as it would be done as by a bear. Because a bear is hungry. When it's hungry, it's going to attack. It's not going to let up until it gets what it wants. So the pasuk here, according to this idea, this mefarish, we are combining the chesroinos, or the characteristics of both, to indicate the intensity of our dire situation in Galus. Our enemies surround us with the milus, or you want to better say the chesroinos, of the bear and the lion. Unprovoked, they'll come and they'll attack us. They'll attack us out of them. What do we do to them? Nothing. Unprovoked, they're attacking us, just like the lion. Okay, but if they're not hungry, if the lion's not hungry, it's just attacking us unprovoked, so maybe in a moment from now, the lion will back down. No, when it attacks like a bear who is hungry. A bear only attacks when it's hungry. And when it's hungry, it's not going to let up. It will not let up until it satisfies its hunger. And therefore, it is the combination of the chesronos of both of these creatures together. This is the difficult matzah we find ourselves in Golas.
Does that mean that the Targum is translating these words to the nations as versus Rashi?
No, the Targum is ambiguous. The Targum does not provide, the Targum here is unusual. Normal Targum says things that we would not otherwise think. Here Targum leaves it vague, doesn't tell us who the who is. It just says...
But the characteristics you just described, we can't say that's HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behaving in such a way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is influencing the nations. When Rashi says that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't think it means necessarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is influencing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is influencing the Umos Olam to behave in this way to cause us this tzar. Possibly. What is Rashi exactly? Like Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has point. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't find Kadosh Baruch Hu coming out of Shemayim and doing things. Matan Torah was an exception. I don't know more than that. All I know is what it says in Rashi. Rashi here says something very, very explicit. Who refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nepach Li L'Doiv Oyev? The Medrash disagrees. The Medrash says it's not what it refers to. It refers to Nebuchadnezzar, or it refers to our enemies. Now, of course, the enemies are being provoked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's indirectly related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem only gives them permission. Hashem inspires them to attack us because of our averos. So it's really all one and the same. The idea is just, what is the emphasis? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that the focus? Or is the focus on the Umos Ulm that have been provoked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what they are doing? But the point here over here is a very powerful image, very powerful idea, to take the combination of both of these creatures together to allude to the fact how they have joined forces to cause us great tsar. Now, according to the Medrash that says this indeed refers to Nebuchadnezzar, we also understand why it says he is oireif, he is lying in ambush, because Nebuchadnezzar was a coward at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. He refused to come near Yerushalayim. He, according to one opinion, was one of the people, I don't know how it could possibly be, but he was alive 220 years ago, at the time of when Sancheiriv attacked Yerushalayim with at least 80,000 soldiers, some say there were millions, 80,000 generals, 80,000 legions, and all of these soldiers miraculously were killed. They died instantaneously the night of Pesach, and only a handful of people survived. Among that group, the Medrash says was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was one of his soldiers, one of the people in one of the generals. That was 220 years before the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. But yet the Medrash says he was there. Does that mean to be taken literally? I do not know. Or maybe it means it was a grandfather, a great grandfather, and there's some type of a connection. No, Mechashmonoim, that's the Bayis Sheni. Mechashmonoim was the Bayis Sheni. I don't worry, I always get confused also. I do it all the time, don't worry. So, but in the Chanami, they're probably parallel. But whatever it is, Nebuchadnezzar, he saw what happened, or he had, if it was not him, it was his grandfather. He knew he had an account, a first-hand account, or whatever, a close enough account of what exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power is in Yerushalayim, and he was petrified. He would not want to come near Yerushalayim. Instead, he stayed at a distance. He was chicken. He was only oirev. He was bemistorim. He was in hiding, watching. He was watching. Let the workers are watching. See what's going to happen. And in case there's trouble, he'll right away have an escape route. He doesn't want to come in contact with them. So it's alluded to over here in this pasuk, as what it says here. What?
Leading from behind.
Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The second. Rachai Sarer Vayifashicheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my roads have been sorer. Now, sorer means to, according to the translation, we'll see in Rashi, look at Rashi right away, sirim, thorn, slashon of a sir, thorn, kutsim, kaitsim, thorns, lashon sirim, kaitsim, sorer, kavots osam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pricked them. With thorns. What does it mean? He pricked them with thorns. Kavitz mefazer koitzim bidrochai. He dispersed thorns on my roads. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused our journey to be a very painful one. Our journey now to come close to Yerushalayim, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring Mashiach, has now been a journey that is painful. Wherever we step, we're pricked by a thorn.
What does that have a mashal to? There's no matoyer that you can't...
No, there is toyer. It's just very difficult. We all know that we are on a derech. Rahman al-Islam, when a person is not with the program, we say he's off the derech. What is that marshal? We have a journey, we have a mission, we have a journey to serve Hashem, to bring the geula. That mission has become extremely difficult. There are impediments on the way, on the road. Everywhere we stand, we're being pricked by a thorn. So the word, according to Rashi's interpretation, there is a missing word. It says, Derachai Sorer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I shouldn't say there's a missing word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just threw, he dispersed thorns on the road. There are many missing words. The word derech, oh, that's another interpretation. And that would mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu has caused us to go off the road. That's one thing at a time. But Rashi clearly defines the word sorer comes from the word a thorn, a kotz, seer, sirim, which means koitzim, sorer means, what does it mean, sorer? Kaveitz osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pricked them. What does it mean, kavitz? And how did Hashem prick them? Mefazer koitzin bidrochai. The pasuk means, in general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he threw dispersed thorns on the road to make it difficult to travel. Now, let's see the next part of the pasuk. Vayifashichin. It's a very hard word to translate. Rashi translates, Loshon pisuk haraglayim. The spreading of the feet. A person that travels, on a road that is not clear, where there are impediments, what do you need to do? You need to go and jump. You need to jump. You need to spread your legs. It's very uncomfortable to walk on such a road. Tzarch laharchiv tzadav, to widen your stride. V'yesh dugma b'loshon gemara hayman d'foshach dikla, a person dikla that. Excuse me. A tree, the dikla, there wasn't the poshach, that's split. The poshach dikla, the palm tree, it's split into two parts. So here it means the split, meaning the splitting or the spreading of the legs. The difficulty in traveling on such a road to avoid all the impediments. So the two parts of the pasuk then fit very well. Derochai sorer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dispersed thorns on the road. Vayir fashicheni, he caused me to widen my strides to make it a difficult trip. Then the pasuk goes on to say, Somani shomim, he made me desolate. Okay, and there is no Rashi on that part of the pasuk. Let's see the targum first. Pasuk yud aleph, orchi serach. So Rashi, the targum learns not like the Rashi. Serach means crooked. It means crooked, like you were saying, Mr. Rappaport. Lashon sorer umore, a wayward child. a child who is off the derech. So that means the Rachaisa Kadosh Baruch Hu threw me off. He threw me off the beaten path. When we travel on our derech in life, we're going through the forest. We're going where no man has gone, on a path that no man has traveled. We're just following the GPS to get to the destination with the compass. But we don't really have a road that makes it easy to travel. And then when it says Vayifa Shechein, he's learning not exactly like Rashi. The Targum says, V'shasani. V'shasani means he broke me. He split me. He cracked me open. He made my life very difficult. It's an expression like shasas split hoofs. But the Targum seems to say shas ani, meaning is just that I've been broken apart. I'm a broken person because you have destroyed the Beis Hamikdash and you have took me off the derech, and I'm now traveling on in a field, in a forest, on a path that there is no paved road. I have become a broken person. It's difficult. And then the pasuk says, Shavini Tzadu. Tzadu means shomein. You have made me desolate. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, the third pasuk in this series. Pasuk, letter Dal. The pasuk Yibes Dorach Kashto Vayatzideni Kamatoro Lachitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bent his bow, and he has set me up like a target for his arrow. Let's see Rashi. First pasuk Yibes Vayatzideni. He bent his bow and he set me up. Hamideni Leneged Chitzav Liros, he set me up.
A target
opposite the arrows that he's planning to shoot. Liros speak kimatara as a target. What does a chet mean? We say over and over, chatanu avinu pashanu. The literal translation of a chet means to miss the target. Chet is a borrowed term which comes from shooting an arrow. You shoot an arrow, bullseye. The arrow has a bullseye, a matara. When you miss the matara, that's called a chet. That's called you've missed. Okay, you go your whole life and not know that. Not know what it means, a chet. Chet, what does it mean? It's a sin. It's not what it means. Sin is a bar. There is no real word in the Torah for sin. There are many things in the Torah that Hashem did not, there are no words for. Believe it or not, it's a very HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? Avera. Avera means the past. Avera, ovar. We have to see. Pesha is a willful sin. A willful sin. Okay, that's done. Pesha is a transgression. Okay, but the word chet literally means, what does it mean? I sinned inadvertently. What do you mean? Well, you're shooting an arrow, you're trying very, very hard to reach the target, the bullseye, and you don't always succeed. You miss. It means a sin. I have sinned. How have I sinned? I didn't do it deliberately. I didn't realize there was a fly. There was a fly in the wine. There was a bug, an ant in the bread. I didn't realize. I didn't. It wasn't with intent. What I would want to go serve Paro, Shrotzen. I didn't mean to do this. That's what it means. It means I'm trying to do my job, and in the process of trying to do my job, I lacked precision. Tried to reach the target. I missed the target. Here. Dorach Kasha, Hashem has bent, pulled back the bow. He has taken aim. Vayatziveni. He then set me up as a target. Kamatara. He set me up, Kamatara, as a target. Lachetz for his arrow. Let's take a look at the Targum, Pasuk Yud Beis. Mosach Kashte. He pulled back the string on the bow. Va'atidani. And Atani means like a designation. Yi'ud. Okay, but here it's a little bit different. The word, but you have the ayin and the dalid. Yi'ud. Okay, the atedani. And he set me up. Heich like palgoliso. It's a new word for us. Palgoliso is a target, obviously, for ligira. Gira, we all know, is an arrow. Okay, I saw an incredible word here. I saw an idea which basically doesn't say in these terminology, but this pasuk defines the essence of terrorism. What is terrorism? Terrorism is you can't prepare for an attack. This is a new thing in this generation, the previous generation, terrorism. Years ago, you have an enemy. Okay, you want to go to war? Well, shake hands. We'll go to war. come to your enemy, we'll shake hands, you go out to the battlefield, and now we engage in battle. You prepare yourself for war, and the one who is stronger, the one who has a better technique, the one who has better weapons, better skills, wins. Terrorism is, you did not see it coming.
Unconventional warfare.
You did not see it coming, and also more than that, there's no way to prepare. And because there's no way to prepare, what is terrorism? There's no way to prepare. You're in a perpetual state of worry. That's exactly what it says over here. The Mepharshim missed the question that the pasuk is out of order. It's a very deep idea, it says over here in the article. It doesn't say mamash same room, give me a little more embellishment, but the idea is the pasuk is out of order. You normally expect that the way the world works is first, Vayatziveni kamatero lachetz. When you go out for target practice, right? I'm sure everyone here goes with Dick Cheney, you go every once in a while. Target practice. What?
Shmuel was the archery teacher.
Shmuel?
Yes.
Oh, he was an archery teacher?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, my head is still swollen, but it'll come down eventually. But an archer or any target, where you first set up the target. You go out into the field and you find a nice tree and you draw a nice circle and a nice bullseye. You set it up and then you go backwards. You go back 50 feet, 100 feet, and you aim your weapons. You sharpen your bow and arrow and you get ready. Okay, you go to a shooting range. You first set up. Whatever they set up over there, and you send down the piece of paper, and then when everything in the target is set, you then load your weapon. You load your weapon and you aim and fire. So the pasuk should really say, "Vayatziveni kamatero lachetz." I have set up. Hashem has set me up as a target for His arrow, and then darach kashtai. And then Hashem sits back, he pulls back the string on the bow, the yeser on the keshas, and he lets go. And now, what is the advantage? The advantage is, you know it's coming. You know that in 10 minutes it's going to be taken out to the forest to be shot, so you know, you got 10 minutes, they have to set everything up. You have to first be set up for and then the target, and then you can't do anything. This is the punishment, I have no choice, I have to take this as my punishment. But in your mind, you can prepare mentally for what's about to happen. And this is, of course, a marshal for punishment. But when you don't, think about it. When a criminal's on death row, the weapon is being aimed at him at every single second. The darach kashtoi, and as the enemy, the weapon is being aimed at him, you have a loose finger, a slippy finger. That's it, it's over. And as we want to get, we want to make it look good for the media, we want to take a good picture of, so therefore, why don't you go and we'll set you up over there. We'll put you over there. But at every single moment in time, it could happen. Doesn't the darach kashtoi is coming before the target has been set. That causes the target to be in an entirely different frame of mind because he's being threatened continuously. Continuously, like you're a moving target, where the archer or the sniper can any moment shoot. That's what terrorism is. Terrorism is there's no preparation. First, it's darach kashtai. The enemy already has taken aim. He has taken aim, and he's looking for the first possible moment, and then he's setting up his targets. There's no preparation. There's no hachana. You don't know what's coming next. This is the essence of terrorism. So here, Yaakovus, we're saying it's possible that our sins have brought upon us punishment, not just ordinary punishment where there's a process. You go to Beis Din, there's a trial. Are you chayiv? Are you potter? And if you're chayiv, you come back for the sentencing. And the sentencing is, okay, you're going to go to for incarceration for this period, or you're going to get malchus, or you're going to have to pay the penalty. There is a process. The process allows the person to digest it, deal with it, improve himself. But when you can't prepare, if it's first darach kashta, you're under attack, and every single moment they're trying now to figure out to set you up as the target, you're frozen in a very difficult matzav.
Probably not the right job, but Darav Kashto and Kamatara Lachaitz means I set up the target after I shot the arrow, which means I can always.
Ah, okay. That's very good. I like it. I really like it. Darach kashtoi, then vayatzi veini. Then you work backwards. Okay, so how does that translate? You have to be, what that means in the hand, punishment. That whatever basically what it means, whatever happens to us is no good. Like you hear this in the media, like you always have a negative interpretation of the events. It's always to our detriment. You know, something good happens, you'll always reinterpret it as being bad. Okay, so this is the Rashi of the Targum. Okay, all the Mefarshim say we had this idea in Eiv. Eiv, we know that Hakadosh Eiv, Derech HaTeva Hashem died due to the intensity of the Yisurin, and Eiv complained to Hakadosh Baruch Hu that you're keeping me alive l'mal l'miderech HaTeva to survive this terrible Yisurin. I can't. A regular person, when he reaches this degree of pain and suffering, he expires. He passes on. Yet I'm suffering, but l'mal l'miderech HaTeva, being kept alive, and it's all for the purpose of causing me even more pain. I recently read a story about a person, an individual who did a chesed for one of the big gedolim in the previous generations, and the person got a bracha for arichas yamim. The only problem was, it's a very bizarre thing, it's a very bizarre story, if it's true. Not all the stories are true, but the idea of the story definitely is very interesting, that this person received the bracha, the person was not well to begin with, was a very sick person, a person that suffered Yisurim. And he got a bracha from a gadol, he did a chesed, and he gave a bracha, you live a very long life. And indeed, the person lived a very, very long life, but the Yisurim never went away. It's almost as if the bracha was chal, you're going to live, but the bracha did not have any effect on the fact that he suffered. So he suffered his whole life, and it got to a point where the doctors and the mishpacha, they recognized that he's living longer al derech hateva than he should, and it's not to his advantage because the yisurim have gotten to a point where he can't function anymore. So they actually went to the kever. Again, these stories are Hasidic stories. I'm not a big into the Hasidic stories, but it brings out the idea which the Pasuk says, where they actually went to the kever. A group of people went to the kever, many went to the kever of this tzaddik, to be mevakeh, that he should be mevater, he should undo, be mater the bracha of arichas yamim. Because the bracha of arichas yamim is only good if you can everything else is good. If the arichas yamim is going to be together with this yisurim at this point in life, it's not good. And shortly after they went to the kever, the person died immediately. Yeah. Wow. And I saw the story. I have names. Where did I see the story? I don't even remember. Maybe I read this in a newspaper, in a magazine recently. Hey, whether the story is true or not, but the idea is really what it says here in this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says this in Eiv, in the Medrash, in Eiv. Eiv complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given me life, but what's my life worth? So I should suffer more.
Go to the
kever. Yeah.
When the bracha would have ended.
You're going to a kever to undo a bracha.
They didn't. They went. They should have gone earlier. They waited too late.
In Achrami. So you don't even. What a bracha. I remember my mother told me a story. My mother's mother told me a story about a person in the building. They used to go to Rav Moshe for a bracha. So go to Rav Moshe for a bracha. And Rav Moshe, we don't realize how holy Rav Moshe was, how mystical he was. And Rav Moshe didn't want to give a bracha. He did not want to give this person a bracha. And people who knew about this were very disturbed. And the person insisted, went over back many, many times. He badgered Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe finally, reluctantly gave a bracha. And the person got what he wanted. Okay, the person was doing, I don't want to go over the details, whatever. And the person basically got what he wanted, but it wasn't good. It was like, you got it, but there was a lot of baggage.
Be careful what you wish for.
Right. There was a lot of baggage that came along with it. And it's like, somehow Rav Moshe, like almost no one understood, how did he know that you don't have this, Hashem did not give this to you, and it's for your good. You have to recognize that not everything that you want in life is for your good. Accept it. The person now want to accept it, and the only way he had it. So listen, you can't say that he had what he had a bracha, but yeah.
This kid was born used to beat his parents, and
they kept the child. That's a similar type of story. You don't know. Okay, there are a lot of stories like this with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim gave out brachas nonstop. But there were times, there were many stories with the Chofetz Chaim, he didn't want to give a bracha. He somehow had a sense, a spiritual sense of what? Here it says, Dorach Kash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what here means is you bend your arrow, and I should have already died. But Vayatziveini, Dorach Kash means you kept on shooting at me. But Vayatziveini, you gave me strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me strength l'malami derech ateva that I should take the beating, that I should be the target l'matara l'achetz. Just seeing you bend your bow would have been enough al derech ateva for me to die, for me to faint, to disappear. Just the terror alone would have been enough to finish me off. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yatzideini, you infuse within me a will to live l'malama derech ateva. For what purpose? To suffer, to be the target for the arrow that's going to come my way. It's a very frightening idea, but it emphasizes the pasuk. Okay, let's go to pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, pasuk Yud Gimel is Hevi Bichil Yoisoi. You send forth the arrows into my kidneys. Bnei Ashbaso, the children of his quiver. What are the children of the quiver? The arrows. The arrows are called the children of the quiver of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, Pasik, Yud Gimel, Bnei Ashba. So Chitzim, the arrows, Shenoist B'Sech Ashba, they are Kuruim, they're called Kuruim, I don't know what that word is, but basically means the arrows are the children of the quiver. Targum, Pasik, Yud Gimel, Il. What?
Is an ashpa used for garbage?
Yes, I'm going to discuss that in a moment. Very good. But ashpa, the main translation here means ashpa, so it means a quiver. A quiver, the holder of all the arrows. So you emptied out. There are no more, you have no more ammunition. You completely emptied out. You shot every possible bullet has been released from your weapon to punish me. The targum is short targum. Or il bichil yosai girei seke. You have penetrated in my kidneys the girei teke. It means just powerful. He adds over here the powerful arrows. Toikif. Powerful arrows have penetrated my body. Okay, now there are a few ideas. First of all, why bechil yosoi? Why, when you aim to kill? Okay, I've not yet taken a course by the CIA or the military, but I am imagining that's not the place you aim for your victim. The place to aim is either the head or the upper chest. I once saw a documentary when they teach snipers, very scary documentary. They teach them when they have a hostage situation. So they teach them that if you shoot in the wrong part of the body, then there's a reflex. Right? If a person gets shot even in a vital organ, let's say that the heart is shot. You have a hostage. A person is holding a weapon to a hostage, and a sniper with perfect precision hits the heart. Sakonis nefashis, because even though the hostage taker may instantly die, there will be a reflex that can pull the trigger. Even though he can be dead, just the act of dying will pull the trigger. There are certain parts of the brain that they know that if it's shut off, the person dies with no reflex.
Right,
exactly. So that's what I mean. So they're very specially trained on what part of the body to aim for, because you don't want to hit a part of the body, even if it's lethal, that will cause a involuntary reflex that can pull the trigger. So the snipers are very well trained. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate sniper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ultimate precision. You know what I mean? So therefore the question is, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu aiming for the kidneys?
What did they say? The kilyus is a source of demons?
Oh, very good. So that's what the Mefarshim say. What does it say? The kidneys, the Medrash says, is an Eitzah. An Eitzah here is interpreted in more creativity, with more flavor. It's the part of the body that controls creativity. And what the Pasuk here is saying is that in Gol, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to destroy us. That's not his goal. Adrabah, we know, Mizmar La'osaf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, know that we should survive. But here's a very powerful point. The point is that the Churban of Gol says we have lost our ability to be creative. Our creative energy has been sapped. Our creative labor. We're just like, yeah, someone once told me that he's busy, he's a very, 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 it's a big mechadish. A lot of he wrote svarim and papers and articles. And he once complained that he has a lot of duties in life, and all of his duties are basically called in the category putting out fires. I wake up in the morning, I have 20 emails to respond to. I don't get anything out of this. I have to just respond. It's just, and then there's a problem. This thing arises. That thing arises. My whole day, I spend responding to issues. I don't have the time to do something creative, to do research, to prepare new lectures, to prepare chidushim. In Galus, we are way down, Klal Yisrael are way down by responding to putting out fires, responding to issues. We don't have the time in Galus to do creative labor, to build new things, to accomplish new things that are needed. That's what it says here. Hashem over here, hey, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send the Arabs? He didn't kill us. He doesn't want us dead. Hashem needs us. But the punishment of Golis is that the arrows have shut down our kidneys. We're just waiting, we're languishing away in Golis, waiting for the Geula to come, so then first we can begin to do creative labor and serve Hashem in a creative way. Creatina, which probably is related to the ability of the mind, the neurotransmitters in the mind to think. Creativity.
What would we do if the kidneys were not being attacked? What is it that we're not doing?
We're so far gone, we don't even realize what we would be doing. That's how far gone we are. We don't even realize the creativity that is at, the potential creativity that is out there for us to serve Hashem. We look at religion, yeah, so what do? You just daven three times a day, you say the same words over and over, you learn a daf gemara, whatever, and that's it. We're so far gone to understand that every time you daven, it's a new world. Every time you learn, there is so much potential for your creativity out there. But it's been taken away from us. We're blind, because that is what Golus is all about. That's the Churban of Golus. Like, we cry because we don't even know what to cry for. That's the famous story with the soldier, and they captured, they took back the Six-Day War, they took back the Kaisel. Why do you cry? I cry because I don't know why. I don't know why I'm not crying, or something along those lines. Any, they say, any. I cry. One eye is crying. Why the other eye is not crying? That's all the part of the problem. But here, this is a very powerful idea that the arrows that Hashem have sent forth have come into the kidneys, into the creative organ of our body. We're just living a life of responding to problems, dealing with this problem, this government, that government. Let's do something creative instead of the whole day fighting for everyone else and defend the borders and do this and do that. That's what goal is, Rahman al-Islam. That's what it's all about. Okay, now when it says he brought in the children of his crevice. So Mr. Rappaport touched upon a beautiful, very scary idea. Ashbasai means the garbage. Who is fighting with us throughout history? The ultimate garbage. the elements of society, the elements of society that attack us, The dregs of society are always the ones. If Anoshim Mechubadim would come and fight with us, okay, so maybe it would be a cover, you know, maybe it would be a dignified battle. But who are we dealing with? Who are our enemies? Who are the people? I'm not going to elaborate. But who are the people that are always harming us? The lowest of the low.
Germany was a highly cultured society.
Germany was a
not
necessarily the Nazis attract. I actually read this. The Nazi Party, the people who joined the Nazi Party were all failures. There were people they were all trash. There were people that did not succeed in the political.
The helpers, the Ukrainians, the Latvians,
or the Polacks. They were low lives.
I mean, the judge Owen loved you.
And the Ukrainians were the pits. They were low. They were nothing. Even the Nazi Party, the people who were attracted to the Nazi Party were all failures. They were all people that.
I don't think that's so. I think the higher percentage of the educated class were in the Nazi Party. You know, Heidegger and
those are the Yechidim. Those were Yechidim. But the people who latched on were not from the people from the parties that were better respected in Germany. I don't know history, so I shouldn't say. But it's an idea which, yeah, okay, maybe you have to really you have to adapt. Well, let's take a step back in time of Bavel and Kastim. They were nations. The Kastim. The Chazal say that's exactly, they were the dregs of society. So let's go back to the time of the Churban. The time of the Churban, no one would have imagined in a million years that the Kastim would rise to power. They were not even on the map. They, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Sancheriv, Ashur was the world power. It was like the superpower of the world. Whoever heard of Kastim, they didn't have their own language, they had nothing. And out of nowhere, they rise up and they control the world. Who are these people? They're nothings. That's what it says. The ashpas, the garbage of the world, have come upon us, and that itself is a tsar, is a pain for Klal Yisrael. Now another interpretation is, Hevi bichol yoisai b'nei ashpasai. Well, it doesn't say the word kol, but the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a nechama. The nechama of this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing left. When you have a quiver of arrows, eventually there are no more arrows. And when there are no more arrows, that's it, it's over. The war is over. When you run out of ammunition, there's no more harm you can possibly do. So here the pasuk is alluding to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shooting arrows. Well, if you're shooting arrows from a quiver, it's going to run out. And when it runs out, then the pain will come to an end, the tsar will come to an end, hinting to us that ultimately our golos, our tsar, will indeed come to an end. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Gidal v'yisi tzchok l'cholami. Now we go to Ois Hei. We start now a new series. Ois Hei, yisi tzchok
l'cholami.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Now, second pasuk. I'm the mockery to all of my nation. I am the object, I am the topic of their song of derision the entire day. Yudalid, Rashi is the Rashi. Targum, Pasuk Yudalid. Havesi Choycham, a joke. Schoig is a joke. L'chol piritzei ami. So Targum here goes off and he says, ami means the Jewish people. The Peritzei Ami, the people, well, I shouldn't say the Peritzei means the people who are, Peritzei means the people who are loose, the low lives of society, the dregs of society. I am a joke to them. Now we'll see in a moment who is the topic of discussion. Well, it's going to be a moment. Umiz Zamron, a lie, they sing about me, obviously songs of derision, call your mother the entire day. Simply, this refers to Yirmiyah. On a very simple level, Yirmiyah is referring to himself. Just like we had in the beginning of this parak, Ani HaGever, I am the Gever. This is a personal account to some degree. Here as well, Hayisi, I Yirmiyah, I've been giving these people Musar for years. And whenever I give them Musar, they laugh at me. A Churban is coming, what are you talking about? You know what you're talking about. If you keep on telling us, we're going to get rid of you. They plucked out the hair off his beard. Yirmiyah had no beard. Why? Not because he shaved. They plucked it out. They put him in a dungeon. They laughed at him. So it's a personal account. The Pritzin, who by whom the Pritzin Ami, all the Mepharshim say Ami does not mean that the Jewish people themselves were the ones who were complaining but it means the nations of the world. So you have to really add some more words into the pasuk according to that interpretation. I was a joke l'chol to all the people. Ami means all the people who spoke against my nation. The people who spoke, all of the nations of the world who spoke about me, about my nation, I was a joke. That changes the interpretation of the pasuk very much. And in other words, all the whole world, the headlines of the world was always mockery about the Jewish people, and we became a song called Hayom. The Nazis did this. The Nazis actually put on plays. The Nazis, they had songs and comics and propaganda all about the Jewish people. It was Negina, some satirical literature. A Negina. Okay, Negina Sam is not just a song, but it's an entire plays and propaganda. We all saw those propaganda, these disgusting cartoons.
They made the famous play with Esau and Yaakov. They brought that back into
Germany. Okay, that's the Negina Sam. This unfortunately, this pasuk came to life at the time of the Holocaust. Negina Sam Kol Hayom. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a pasuk from Pesach. Hispiani v'ameroyim. I have been v'ameroyim. I have been sated with bitterness. Hirvani lano. I have been, same word, hirvani, I've been satisfied with lano as wormwood. Another type of wood. Here in the article, they translate it with bitterness, sated with wormwood, filled me. I have been filled with bitterness and sated with wormwood. Two different types of wood which produce bitter fruit. Either the food, the wood itself is bitter, or they produce bitter fruit, and that's why they've been satisfied. Rashi pasuk, there is no Rashi in this pasuk. Targum pasuk tes vav. Targum says, Aspiani, I have been, you have satisfied me with Meri Ros. Chevon, now here it says snakes. Chevon means a snake. Neriros nechoshim. Chevon is a snake. So it's a very interesting interpretation. Bitter snakes have bitten us. Arvoni gida, and I have been satisfied with gida. Gida was the word for lana. That's a type of wormwood. Now, what is the significance of a snake? I do not know. Snake always represents chet. Every time a person is punished for a sin, it's always described in Chazal as being touched by the bite of a snake. So what it's living over here is that I got what I deserved. I've been satisfied by the bite, by the bitter bite of a snake. There is an acknowledgement. There is a silver lining here that there is an acknowledgement that indeed I've been punished for my sins. Now we know that this pasuk is used in reference. This pasuk refers to bitterness, and some interpret that's why we on the night of Pesach this pasuk is quoted. The first night of Pesach is the night of Tisha B'Av. Whenever Pesach, the first night of Pesach, that's when Tisha B'Av falls out, and we allude to that, and even in the Morah. The Morah that we eat on the night of Pesach reminds us that we're still in Golus, that we're still being filled with bitterness, and to what it says here in reference to the Churban is described as the Merirus and Lana. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Yutez Zayin Vayag Reis Bechotzah Shinoi Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He caused my teeth to be ground. To be ground, Vayag Reis is to ground Bechotzah and pebbles of my teeth. My teeth have become damaged. I become damaged and slid in ground due to pebbles. Vayagres bechotzos shinoi my teeth. Hich pishani voefer. He has covered me. Or hich pishani means like it's a similar to being covered in voefer in ash. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is more precise. Rashi pasuk tezayin. Vayagres vayishaber. Vayagres means to break. My teeth have been chipped. Have been broken. through the gravel, the dugumasai, garso nafshi, my neshama, like garis means beans, split beans. My neshama has been split open. Tachin garish caramel, garish caramel means when you take the piece of the barley seed and you break it into two parts. Bechatzatz, avonim dakim. The Rashi explains what is this about, what does it mean over here that my teeth have become broken in gravel? Shebesoicho, afer inside of the dust. Shahayu loshim isasan. What happened was, when they went into Galus, it was a long trip to go from Eretz Yisrael. When the Nebuchadnezzar took them down to Babel, it was a long trip, and on the long trip they needed food. So what did they do to bake bread? They had some flour, they took some flour with them, or maybe they purchased flour from merchants on the road, and they dug pits. They dug pits in the ground, and they lit up a fire in the ground, and they used the ground as a makeshift oven. And they stuck the bread to the walls of this oven. But being that these ovens were made from the ground, they were gumas in the ground, it was inevitable that some of the pebbles in the ground would stick to their bread and get mixed into the flour. And then when they ate the bread, they were chewing on pebbles. So it's describing here this pasuk, it's describing their descent to Babel. One more time, the words of the Rashi. Shayo loshim isasan, they would knead their dough. Isasan hagoylim. The goylim means the exiles. Besoch hagumos, in pits, in makeshift pits. Shechoyfrim, which they dug bekarka in order to bake the bread. Vehechotzatz nichnas l'seicha, and gravel would enter into their dough. Kishaamar Kadosh Baruch Hu liyecheskel, and this is what it says, that Kadosh Baruch Hu liyecheskel gave the Musa, Yecheskel lived at the same time of Yirmiyah, and Yecheskel said to them, I want you to prepare for yourself small ovens. He warned them, you're going into Golus. I want you to prepare, sell your house, get everything ready, get your packages ready, and take with you small portable ovens so you'll have what to eat on your way down. Asay lecha klei goyla, make for yourself utensils of exile, lishtoispo, in order to drink from when you go into Golus. Lolosh besoichai, to knead dough within. Charoda ketana, small little cake. I have a mistake among you. I have a doubt. Charoda ketana, a small cake. Kedei sheyilmedu heim. Hashem told Yecheskel to do this, so he should serve as a marshal for everyone else. Kedei sheyilmedu heim v'yasu kein. Kinyan shenemar. V'hoye lecheskel lechem l'moyfes. The cheskel will be for you as a sign. Whatever he does, you shall do. V'heim hoyu mesachekim alaf. They laughed. They mocked Yecheskel. V'loy asu kein l'sof. Therefore, nishtabu shinem. And therefore, as a punishment, as a metzias, when they went into Golus, their teeth were crushed. Their teeth broke because they ate gravel. So here's a very scary thing over here. It's telling us is that you have no one to blame for this except for yourselves. It's a very powerful limud musar that even though in Golus, most of what happens to us in Golus, we have no choice, it's against our will, we're here, what can we possibly do? Yet it says here, you can make preparations. I told you going to Golus, told you to make preparations. If you have to make preparations, don't go say, you know why this happened? It's because of tznius, because of the internet, because talking during davening, because of all the different things, all different articles. Not everything bad that happens is because of everything that you read about in the newspapers. Sometimes the reason why bad things happen is because you didn't take care of yourself. You did not prepare for the inevitable. Here is an example. There's no reason why your teeth had to be broken. There's no need why you need root canal. The only reason why you need root canal is because, not because of the internet, not because of tznius, because you didn't brush your teeth. Right? You didn't brush your teeth. I once heard a woman complain. Once when a woman, I told you this story. A woman, she said, I was on the road and I was almost run over by a yeshiva guy. It was a miracle that I survived. And she said, and what would have happened if he would have hit me? He would have killed me. I know for sure that tomorrow they would get up, all of them would get up, and they would say, you know why this woman died, Rabbi Yisai? Because of the internet. Because of tznius, lashon hara, talking during the evening. I want to let you know, Rabbi Yisai, it has nothing to do with that. It's because these people are just not disciplined. The way he drives, he should not, such a person should not have a license. Such a person, such a behemoth, such a person doesn't belong on the road. And his parents and his teachers are responsible for his irresponsible behavior. They're responsible for his midos and his behavior. It's nothing to do with all of these things. It's very frightening because that's what it says over here in the pasuk. It says over here this horrible thing that their teeth have been crushed, and over here Rashi says you have no one to blame but yourself. I told you, Cheskel, to tell you people, you're going into Golis, make preparations. You want to make preparations? You want to make a mockery out of this? So when you go to Golis, you're going to go eat bread that has pebbles, you're going to hurt your teeth, and you're going to suffer. Don't blame anyone but yourself. Next, the next word over here is this very hard word. This word of Hichpishani. What is this word, Hichpishani? So Rashi struggles. Kofa oisi be'ether. Hashem covered me with ether, with ash. Kichli ha-kofui al-piv, like a pea, an utensil that is overturned on its mouth. It's like you take a utensil of ash and you upturn it upside down on your head. The Pishon HaGamol means the... I don't know what that word means. I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. Pishon HaGamol, B'mida HaKefusha... B'mida HaKefusha Modan, with a mida that's overturned.
Pishon HaGamol is the name of a person.
Yeah. Name of a person. B'mida HaKefusha Modan. He measured with a mida that was overturned. Which I think it means a corrupt type of measurement, which means the measuring tool should have been turned upside down. He should have taken this measuring utensil and destroyed it because it was corrupt. Okay, but the meaning over here for our purpose is that it means that it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He covered us, He enveloped us in ash. This Pasuk, let's see, Targum first in Pasuk Tezayin. Targum says, "Veritzets bif ridon." Hakadosh Baruch Hu, He crushed, He broke. Vayagris means, "Veritzets" means to shatter. He shattered bif ridon in gravel. Shinai my teeth. Kinayosi, He humbled me. Targum has a different translation than Rashi. He says, "Vayaf she'eni" means He humbled me. Bikitma. In ash, He humbled me. In just like ash is nothing. Vanochi ofar vo'efer. Efer is a code for humility. That's what Targum says. He humbled me in ash. He humbled me to having no self worth in Golas. So machlokes Rashi and Targum, how to translate this unusual word, lead to overturn upon the ash or to humble me. This is the makor for the minig why in Erev Tisha B'Av we dip our bread in ash. This year we don't have to do that. This year, since the Sudas Mafsekes is Shalosh Sudas, it's Erev Shabbos, so you're allowed to eat Kisudas Shalomai B'Shaitai. There are absolutely no restrictions in the Sudas Mafsekes this year, but normally when it's during the Chol, so we all know that the last meal is an egg and a piece of bread and some water, and you dip the egg and the bread in ash. L'kayima Shenemar, what it says in this Pasuk, says in this Pasuk, Kich Bishani Bo'efer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enveloped me, He covered me in ash. You do eat this year, we do not eat the egg, no. This year there is no traditional Sudas HaMafsekes. Okay, Pasuk, okay, let's do another Pasuk Yud Zayin. Tiznach, now we begin Oisiois. We're in the middle of Oisiois Vav. One more Vav. Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi. It has been rejected. My neshama, from the different interpretations we'll see in the moment, but from peace, my soul has been rejected from peace. Noshisi, I have forgotten toiva, the meaning of good. I don't know anymore what it means, good. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Targum, Pasik Yud Zayin, Vikotsas, Milim Sha'al Shalom. It has been cut off from seeking peace. So that means, Batiznach, my neshama has been cut off from its ability to seek. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. Mi shalom, he interprets means mi le mishal, to request. My ability to request that there be peace has been taken away from me, and it means here an shisi to tivusa. It has been forgotten from me. Good has been forgotten from me. So the Farshim explained this very frightening pasuk is that we have basically, from this targum means we have lost the art of tefillah, the koyach of tefillah. Not the koyach. We've lost the technique. Tefillah requires training. You just open up a siddur and start saying the word, it's not going to work. You have to be trained properly. Chazal say that a person has a choylim sechbeso, yelech etzel chacham. Go to a chacham. What do you do when you go to the chacham? So some mafarshim say, well, you ask the chacham for a bracha. The chacham will give a bracha, we mispal for you. All the mafarshim say, no. Go to the chacham, and the chacham will teach you how to daven. Why do I need a chacham to teach me how to daven? I can daven my own. I can open up the siddur on my own. Teretz says no. Davening is an art. It's a skill. It requires practice. It requires a technique. It requires training. What works for one person does not work for someone else. Today there's a plethora of svarim on how to daven, what to do, different techniques, different strategies on how to daven. To a certain degree, this art has been forgotten from us. That's what it says. But tiznach, my ability, according to the Targum, to be shoyel, to seek, the ability for me to know how to seek peace has been forgotten from me. We're groping in the darkness. We've lost the tools. Okay, other mafarshim say that the word shalom over here means the ribonoi shalom. Hashem's din vayikru loy Hashem shalom. Hashem's name is shalom. And it means my neshama is no longer connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vatiznach, it has been sent away. You have to read the words out of order. Nafshi, my neshama, from shalom, mi shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone away. Shalom has gone to the Hashem has taken his neshchina, has brought it back to the Shemayim. The neshchina used to rest in the Beis Hamikdash. The shalom has gone away. Therefore, my neshama now is bereft. And mimela nashisi toiva. And if Hashem is not with me, then toiv, the true meaning of good, is been denied from me. Okay, there's another very beautiful medrash on this pasuk, and it's describing the dire poverty of the Jewish people at the time of the Churban. They did not have enough money to buy neros for Shabbos. Why do we have neros on Shabbos Friday night? Shalom bayis. We have neros shalom bayis. So here it says, at the time of the Churban, we were so poor, we didn't, our neshama, nafshi refers to the neshama yisera. On Shabbos, every person is giving the neshama yisera, and that neshama yisera needs peace, and the way we have peace is we eat the suda with that candlelight. You see what you eat, shalom bayis. At the time of the Churban, the Nero Shabbos were denied from us. And this is a very deep idea, according to the Medrash. It's coming, Klal Yisrael is being reminded of their sins. One of the sins of the Churban was they did not fully appreciate Shabbos. In many ways, they didn't appreciate Shabbos Shemitah. Shemitah is the Shabbos Haaretz. And they did not appreciate Shabbos Pshutu Kimashmo, that Shabbos is the day of Menucha. Menucha, where you connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they were rich, they had money, they had, everything was very fancy, they had beautiful meals, but the real true meaning, the Kedusha Shabbos, was lacking. They had everything from the outside appeared to be fine. But that Kedusha Shabbos was missing. So now at the time of the Churban, they were reduced to dire poverty. They didn't have the basics for Shabbos. And they didn't have the candles. The most elementary thing that you have at a Shabbos meal is the Shabbos candles. You may not have the best cholent. Friday night shalom, but you may not have the best suda, but at least the Shabbat sets the ambiance, the aura of Shabbos. It's all there. And now, when the Golos happened, no Shabbos candles? Sorry, there's nothing. It triggered, now we understand. We understand that when we celebrated Shabbos before, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't really Shabbos either. Because we might have had the candles and the good food, but the Kedusha Shabbos was lacking. This was a painful reminder by Hashem taking away this Shalom. This is, well, at least the Medrash describes the reference to the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon, it could be, oh, there's a lot of things that I repeat are Bayis Sheni. And then when it says, Nashisi Toiva, the Medrash goes on to say, this refers to all of the other things that accompany Shabbos, which is a clean house, clean clothing, the mita motzas, and the table is set, all the other good things that enhance the kedusha of Shabbos, all of these things were forgotten in the period that followed the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos became just a miserable, dirty day. Everything was filthy and miserable and dark and miserable. And when people realized what the gashmis they were missing, it triggered a zecher, a deeper understanding that the reason why this happened to them was because they failed to take advantage of the kiddush of Shabbos that they had when they had everything, when everything was fine and good in the good old days.
Care to comment on how it has proceeded to today's times?
Same thing today. Chas Hashem, there are all different groups.
I'm not
commenting. There's nothing everywhere. Everyone. There's always room for improvement. There's always the optimists and the pessimists. So you have to always be positive, and there's always room for even more. I mean, what's to say? It's Baruch Hashem, we're living in good times. You have to be optimistic.